Yes, welcome back to World Football Daily. We are talking at the very beginning of this week about the Premier League and, of course, the build-up to this week's Champions League. Back once again, Rafa is kind of giggling like a little girl on the other side of the microphone. He cannot wait for Tuesday night and Wednesday night. But a man who's going to clear up all the things that went on this week in the Premier League and build us up towards the Champions League for English clubs today is Mr. Will Tidy of Bleach Report joining us here on World Football Daily. Will, how are you, mate? As a Manchester United fan, you've got to be over the moon at this point.
Very pleased after the weekend, Oliver, absolutely. The title race is over. The title's coming back to Old Trafford, and it's as good as that, really. So just Real Madrid to worry about now.
How worried were you about Everton going into Sunday's game, and how pleased were you by the performance that United put in that? Because we've seen them stumble against Everton at the beginning of this season and at the end of last season as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, obviously the key game last season at Old Trafford when Everton came back from 4-2 down to draw 4-4 at Old Trafford near the end of the season, that really determined the title race. So United weren't about to let that happen again. I think they set up in a way to stop Fellaini playing for Everton. Very clever the way Ferguson put his team out, I think. Defensively, very organised against Everton. They didn't really give them a sniff. And I think that was a solid, very confidence-boosting 2-0 win, I think.
What about one of the goal scorers? Of course, we've seen Robin van Persie bang them in all season, how important he's been as signing for United. But Ryan Giggs scoring once again in a Premier League season, continuing that tradition. Just sum up, as a long-standing Manchester United fan, how important Giggs has been to this football club.
Well, he's been there all along with Ferguson. He's won the titles Ferguson's won, 12 now. I remember him coming on the scene as the scrawny winger with the shaggy curly hair. He was a pop star when he came out. He and Lee Sharp were the two United wingers there at the dawn of sort of Ferguson's era. And they were cool. They were kind of symbolised a new hope for United. And Giggs has then just evolved over time. You know, he lost a bit of that pace that he had. He's evolved into a more thoughtful footballer, often in the central areas, still out wide now, but not really beating his man like he used to. And it's just, I think it's just, as we all know, he's taken very good care of himself. And he's been a mainstay there at United. And I think Ferguson will say this, and I saw him in the interview we did with the BBC at the weekend, that he puts United success, a lot of it down to the continuity in the ranks, and Giggs is obviously the clearest example of that.
Where does Giggs stand in terms of Manchester United legends as well, historically? I mean, is this a guy that people might be saying, are we going to have a statue built for him outside Old Trafford?
I think Giggs will get honoured in some way or another, absolutely. I don't think he's reached the level of a Bobby Charlton or a George Best, but I think the longevity of service that he's put in would demand that something is done at Old Trafford. It might be a statue, it might be something else. I think something will have to be done. And we may not have been, you know, the end of Giggs' playing career doesn't necessarily mean the end of his association with United, of course. I mean, he may go into coaching, whether it's youth ranks or assistant level at United. I think he could be associated with United for another 30 years, really.
When you talk about he's not made the impression as a Best or a Charlton, do you think that in part comes down to the fact that, without sounding too harsh here, but that he's Welsh and they've always traditionally struggled on the international scene, and Giggs has rarely put in the same kind of performances for Wales that he's put in for United?
I don't think the Wales thing comes into it too much. I mean, Best never really did a lot with Northern Ireland, never went to a World Cup. I just think Giggs, at talent level and what he's done, he's a fabulous player. We all know at the Premier League he's been. But we talk about consistency and longevity, and we mustn't confuse those with ability. And Best was a better player than Ryan Giggs. Eric Cantona was a better player than Ryan Giggs. I think you'd probably argue Roy Keane was a better player than Ryan Giggs. And that just, that affects, I mean, I'd have Brian Robson as a better player than Ryan Giggs, because he's, you know, somebody that I grew up with. But I think you can't. That's why we respect him so much, is because of the longevity and because of the fact that he's been part of United for so long.
Are these bookmakers that are paying out now on United, 12 games to go, 12 points ahead, are they jumping the gun at all, Will? Is there any chance for City to claw their way back into this title fight?
I don't think there's any chance at all. You can quote me on it. Play it back if City do come back, Oliver. I think they're done and dusted. And I think City's thoughts will probably fairly soon turn to how they're going to shape things for next season. Because United won't, not two seasons in a row. They learned from last season. That really hurt Ferguson. And I think it's, you know, it's bitten at him every single morning he's woken up since United lost the title at Sunderland on the final day. And there's no chance we're going to see a capitulation from them of any kind, I don't think, now.
We've seen United win title after title and improve and be able to keep that gap between anybody who's kind of coming up behind them in second place in the Premier League. City have been completely unable to do that. What do you put that down to?
I think they've missed a couple of key players. I think Kompany was so vital to them winning the title, and they've missed him here and there this season. It's hard to put your finger on it, really. I just haven't seen the same kind of intensity from City this season that we saw last season. I think in midfield they've not been as much of a force. There's been mistakes defensively. The central defensive thing is obviously key. We can talk about Joe Hart and him making a few mistakes. I'm not sure if that's the reason they've lost the title. I just think United have been. I think the main difference is United have been a lot better than they were last season.
What about you know, Manchester United? The theory that they've won it because they have been united. I mean, they are what they are. Whereas Manchester City have a team that still doesn't have that team essence and harmony about it. There's too many controversial egos still hanging around the club.
I think partly, and I think one of the big things for United is the defensive side of things. I think obviously the biggest difference in United this season is Robin van Persie. The second biggest difference for me is the way that Ferguson's adapted his team. He's looked at the way that the game is going. He's realised that he needs to adjust things in midfield. And he's setting up now with Rooney deeper. United are playing this kind of 4-2-3-1, you know, and they've tried it before, obviously, but they've really honed it this season. I think, you know, with Tom Cleverley in there, it's made a difference. Obviously, Carrick is someone that everyone's lauding a lot this season. So I think United just tightened things up, really, defensively, and they're not as vulnerable as they were last year. And then adding that punch of Van Persie up front, they're an improved animal than the one that sort of fell last season.
Looking at the other end of the table, Will, and things aren't getting any prettier for Queen's Park Rangers. 4 draws and then the loss, a big loss this weekend against Swansea City. Are you seeing the rats running out of Loftus Road right now as they all look to get out of the ship before it goes down?
I think QPR are down, I really do. And it's interesting because they've tried kind of to buy themselves out of it a little bit during the January window. I don't think they've done enough. I don't think the buys that they made were particularly ones that are going to keep a team up. It's going to take something a bit special now. That said, you have got some teams that are sort of sliding a little bit. You know, Norwich, I worry about Norwich. You know, they're out of the relegation zone by 5-6 points right now, but the last few games, Norwich have not looked good. So I think they're a team that's capable of sliding down, and that'll give QPR fans a little bit of hope. But for me, they're down.
Wow, down already and dusted. Will, if either United blow the title or Queen's Park Rangers stay up, we will have those on clip, on demand, ready to go for your final appearance of the season.
It's no fun if I don't at least go bold, though, is it?
You got to go bold. Go big or go home, my friend.
Yeah.
When you look at someone like Newcastle as well, a side that, you know, around that bottom three, and there's a gap starting to appear, though, from Newcastle and above. You spoke about Norwich and their slump. But outside of that, you've got Sunderland, Southampton and Newcastle that are all just doing enough to keep that distance away from that bottom four. Do you think only one of those teams is going to get out of that survival race, out of that bottom four? Is there anybody else apart from Norwich could get sucked in as well?
Yeah, I think you've got it right there. I think Newcastle did good enough business in January. I think they're going to be safe. I think Sunderland have got a good enough manager that they're going to be safe, even though they've had some bad results of late. I just think they'll have enough. And let's not forget, you know, they lost 1-0 to Arsenal, but they, you know, that was a tight game. They could have got a point, and Arsenal are in good form at the moment. So I think we're looking at QPR, Wigan, Reading, and then you and then Norwich at a four. I think Villa, I've just got a feeling that Villa have got something about them that they'll be okay. So I think it's the three that we have now plus Norwich. They're the ones I'm concerned about.
What about Southampton? What about the Saints? Because at one point they were playing some fantastic football and not getting the results. We saw that straight away from the first game of the season against Manchester City. So near and yet so far to a point at the Etihad. The big win, obviously, this weekend with a lot of help from Manchester City, Joe Hart and Gareth Barry. Do you think they'll be fine as well? Or are they in danger of their inexperience of getting sucked back into the relegation battle?
Yeah, of course they are, because this is a new thing for them to experience. They were really good against City, and hopefully that'll give them a boost. And they've done enough, you know, they've had some good results. You know, I mean, holding Everton 0-0 at home is a good result. I mean, of course, the 2-2 draw at Chelsea, that really showed you something, because that was, you know, that was Southampton coming back from two goals down against the European champions. I know they're Chelsea. I know they're under Benitez. I know they're in a little bit of a crisis right now. But still, to come back from two goals down against a team of that caliber with that kind of star-studded cast, that shows you they've got some fight. And then since then, you know, Everton drawn, going to Wigan and getting a draw. You know, they're only beaten 2-1 by United, which was a decent result. And then beating, I think Southampton are on good form and they're pointed in the right direction right now.
Well, just finally, before we get into a bit of the Champions League preview with Manchester United and Real Madrid coming up this week, Tottenham as well aren't falling folly of their usual second half of the season slump and going on a big loss of losing games at the moment. How much do you put that down to AVB? Was it just a problem that Harry Redknapp has had with sides in general that was stopping Tottenham last season?
I think Villas-Boas has done an excellent job at Tottenham. I really do. I think he's come in, he's been given the freedom that he never had at Chelsea. He's been allowed to mould a team around his vision, his tactical blueprint that he had at Porto. He's got a stable of young, up-and-coming players, some of which we could say are proven already in the likes of Gareth Bale, I guess, and Aaron Lennon and Kyle Walker. I mean, you can pick a very good 25 and under Spurs team right now, and that's credit to what they're doing there and their vision for the future. I think they're... If I was a Spurs fan, I'd be really excited about what's going on right now. I think they'll qualify for the Champions League, and I think they're capable of being in the top three next season.
10 games unbeaten in the Premier League, a fantastic achievement for Tottenham, especially with their second half of the season regular slump still being held off. We do go into Champions League this week, Will. We do have the big one in the Bernabeu, Real Madrid against Manchester United. You're, as I say, a Man United fan. What are the key things that United need to do to shut down Madrid this week?
Well, it's an interesting one. Going to the Bernabeu, United haven't had a lot of success over the years in going there. I don't think they've ever won there. I think what's obviously key is doing as much as they can to thwart Cristiano Ronaldo. Who does that job will be interesting to see. We saw Phil Jones tasked with doing it against Fellaini. If he's fit, maybe we'll see him given that job again. I think United will be tight. They'll keep it fairly narrow in midfield, I think. We'll be looking at, again, that axis of Cleverley and Carrick just to move the ball around. And I think Ferguson will be looking to come away from there. 0-0 is a good result. 1-1's an even better result, obviously. Madrid are a team that have had more shots on target in the Champions League than anybody else this season. I think 74 was the number I looked at this morning. So they're going to pepper United's goal. So question marks on David De Gea again. He's going to be put under pressure there. It's such an exciting game. And what makes it so exciting is we really do think it could go either way.
Is it going to be an all-out attack from both sides? Is it going to be a cagey affair? Neither side has a quality back four this season so far, but both sides have a great amount of talent going forward.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if you watch the Clasico games over the last 2 or 3 years, I think you get a hint for what Madrid will do here. They will come out very quick and press very high for the first 15 to 20 minutes. And it'll be at a frenetic attacking pace. And that's what they've tried against Barcelona. Now, what happens there? What makes the big difference? If Madrid score early, then really they're on the front foot and anything can happen. If United can hold them at bay for 20 minutes, as we've seen Barcelona do on numerous occasions, then you can wear them down and then you can start to take back that territory. It's got to be cagey because Mourinho is not going to want to lose a goal at the Bernabeu. So, I don't know. If I was a betting man, I'd probably go, even though these teams are both good scoring teams and you said their vulnerabilities in defence, I'd say 0-0 is as likely score as any in this game.
0-0. I hope it's an entertaining 0-0, Will, if you're right about that on Wednesday night. How about, just finally, Jose Mourinho and his relationship with Manchester United? In terms of this game, there's a lot of people saying that this fixture, this knockout round of the Champions League is Mourinho's audition to be the next Manchester United manager. Do you buy into that at all?
No, I don't, because I don't think Sir Alex Ferguson is ready to walk away yet. And I think he'll, you know, when he makes that decision, then obviously Mourinho's name will be in the fray. But, you know, Mourinho has the upper hand on Ferguson in their rivalry. I think they've played 14 times and Ferguson's just won twice. Mourinho's won six and six have been draws. Of course, that rivalry started in 2004 when Porto came to Old Trafford and Mourinho danced down the touchline. These are two guys who really respect each other, let's not forget, and they'll both be relishing this. But I think more importantly is maybe Mourinho's Madrid future in this. And I think if they lose this tie, then obviously we're going to be hearing about where he's going next. And I think it's fairly certain that Madrid will get rid of him. That may already be written.
Even if Ferguson wins the Champions League in the league this year, he'd still stay on next year then?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. You know, I don't know. We've not seen him. We've not seen that question be asked of him because obviously they haven't won that Champions League now since 2008 and he wasn't going anywhere then. So, yeah, I mean, if they win the Champions League at Wembley, he might be tempted to say goodbye. But if he's still fit and healthy, you know, as he said before, he's not a guy who wants to go mow his lawn or play golf every day. So, I don't know that he's going to go unless his health deteriorates, to be honest.
Well, we'll have to see. But whatever happens, Manchester United against Real Madrid is sure not to disappoint this week. Will, an absolute pleasure to have you back on the show once again. It's been far too long. A very happy 2013 to you as well. I know we're midway through February, but I think it's the first time we've had you on this year, mate. And we look forward to getting you back on more and more as the year plays out.
Thanks, Oliver. Appreciate it. Always great to be on.
Take care, mate. Will Tidy from Bleacher Report joining us here on World Football Daily, avid Manchester United expert. And of course, he will be watching with his eyes glued to the television screen as United take on Real Madrid this week in the Champions League. And of course, as I say, the bookies already paying out on United to win the Premier League as they extended that gap to 12 points above Manchester City in second place in the English top flight after that 2-0 win against Everton. Very interesting as well that Alex Ferguson said after the game that City's loss made him change the squad that he was going to play against Everton, kind of saying that, look, we knew you were going to that you'd messed up and we were going to make sure that we punished you for it. And it's maybe it's the end of season mind games, maybe it is what actually happened, but Ferguson starting to stick the knife into Manchester City and their title hopes this season. We're going to take a very quick break here on World Football Daily, although I can hear Rafa.
I was going to say, Juice, I think my next book, to really kind of shake the foundations of this beautiful game to its knees, I think, I think my next book is going to be How to Beat Manchester United, and it's going to be incredible. It's going to literally change the face of the beautiful game. And just wait, man. It's going to be a stunner, absolute stunner.
Have you managed to fit the whole Manchester United team into your back pocket as well as Arjen Robben?
The entire Manchester United team. Yes, wow. It is.
That's a big-ass pocket you got on the back of those trousers, man, I tell you that. We will be getting into all of the other news from around the weekend and, of course, looking ahead to what is in store this week on World Football Daily. When we come back after the break, we'll see you in a sec.